It's about 3:15 on Wednesday afternoon. Let's welcome Professor Evan Ware, who is professor, assistant professor of composition at Central Michigan University. Welcome, Dr. Ware.
Thank you very much for having me, Judy.
We have a big event coming up this weekend on the CMU campus. It's the New Music Symposium. Can you tell us a little bit about what will happen this weekend?
Absolutely. So the New Music Symposium is a yearly event that we have as part of the theory and literature area in the School of Music at Central Michigan University. And it's think of it as a mini festival that usually features one composer or one group that's involved in new music. And this year we kind of have one of each. The group is Apex Contemporary Performance, and particularly the subset of them that is the Apex Sinfonietta. They're an Ann Arbor group that is dedicated to new music, specifically music from underperformed repertoires. And they're coming up to perform my first and second symphonies. So I guess I'm the featured composer in that respect.
Nice. So new music. Okay, so what is new music? And is new music different than music that was just composed recently? Is it more of an aesthetic or...
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think I was trying to find the exact John Cage quote that we'd spoken about when I'd seen you earlier, and it's something along, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's something along the lines of us being in a period now of not being so much a mainstream as many streams, and I think today, you know, maybe 50 years ago, there was definitely a very strong new music aesthetic that was usually sort of maybe a little bit top heavy, imposed from places like Darmstadt in Germany. But nowadays, I think it's very, very open ended. And certainly in my own education at the University of Michigan, you could kind of run in whatever direction you wanted to do. So with great power comes great responsibility, and you have to figure out, you know, where you are in this vast open field, and find ways to articulate yourself and find the restrictions or the boundaries within which you want to work.
Well, and as you know, all music, now here at WCMU, we're playing music that's 100, 200, 300, 400 years old. And all of that music at one point was new. And last night, I had the pleasure of attending the faculty recital by Dr. Brad DeRoche, classical guitarist, and he mentioned that Bach was hip and trendy in his day. So all of the music was new at some point.
Indeed. The way it goes is that the function of the music may have changed, right? So Bach was writing in a very specific kind of social context, particularly a religious context. Mozart and Haydn wrote for nobles. Haydn was a court musician, essentially. Mozart was maybe one of the first like real freelancers that ever hit the scene. And nowadays, often our patrons are universities, for instance, or still there's, orchestras will fund commissions, and increasingly we have consortiums where you have lots of people who come together and everyone chips in a little bit of money. The composer writes a piece and then they all take it and play it.
Well, that brings me to your work, and the Symphony No. 1 that will be performed this weekend had a very specific purpose.
It did. When I was in my graduate work at Michigan, I had a situation where I got appendicitis. It's sort of a weird story to talk about in terms of where a symphony comes from. Not many people are going to say that their symphony came from appendicitis, but mine didn't. That's not exactly true either. But I had appendicitis, and later on it was discovered when my appendix was removed that I had a cancer on the appendix. And then there was 6 weeks of lots of tests and lots of fear. And I didn't know to what extent this had invaded my body. And in the midst of all that fear, I realized that the fear I had had of dealing with my own history of childhood sexual abuse had basically vanished. That in confronting my own mortality, I confronted something that was more important. There's a line from a Jungian psychologist that I like very much called James Hollis, and he says, "And there is something more important than what we fear. We are more important than what we fear, and this is what is meant by courage." And so I decided that I would write about my experiences as a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I was abused from the ages of 8 to the ages of 10. And it had a long-lasting effect on me. It's often the case that it's the after effects that are harder to deal with sometimes. You have defense mechanisms that kick in to help preserve you in the moment. And often that's called, psychologists will call it dissociation. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways that you do it, and where you sort of fragment your memories and compartmentalize them so that they don't talk to each other, so you don't have this master narrative of abuse to deal with, and you can take it in smaller, more manageable doses. And oftentimes what the work of a survivor is to knit back together all of those pieces. And when writing my first symphony called The Quietest of Whispers, I actually deliberately set about doing that. I used a very conventional musical ending, a cadence, and I early on in the piece, and I interrupted it. And in interrupting it, I set in motion musical processes that would take the whole rest of the symphony to come back together and close that cadence finally at the end.
And you had the language to do that, to express that in music. Unfortunately, many survivors do not have that language to express that, but I think you kind of did it for them.
Well, I certainly don't want to speak for anybody,
right,
but I do want to create space where survivors can use music, which often, works at a pre-verbal or non-verbal level.
Absolutely.
To process their own feelings. And in the case of the first symphony, I was particularly interested in reaching out to men, because men are often not afforded a lot of emotional bandwidth in our culture. And they're not given the space to be vulnerable, which is the only way that you heal. It's by admitting to the pain, by letting the pain in and by feeling it, that you are then able to process it and integrate it into your life, and then it can become a memory and not something that keeps afflicting you.
And so The Quietest of Whispers is a place that folks could go.
Indeed. In fact, the line comes from a book about sexual assault survival. And the original line was actually about how one survivor described the persistent nagging feeling that they had been abused, because not all survivors know that they were abused. I didn't, actually. It was very confusing. It wasn't until much later that I realized what had really happened. And I dissociated the memories so much that I wasn't able to put a lot of the pieces together. I wanted to reinterpret what The Quietest of Whispers meant, because what it meant to me was this persistent voice inside me that said that I had something valuable to contribute to the world in spite of all of the feelings of self-doubt and self-hatred that mark most survivors who go through these horrible events. I felt in there somewhere there was something beautiful that hadn't been destroyed, and I think that's true of every survivor. And what I wanted to do is I wanted every survivor to be able to listen to the piece and find that beautiful and indestructible part of themselves.
That is beautiful. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Let's listen to a little bit. You brought a CD, and we have the first track on this. If you could explain what we'll hear?
Yes. So the first track is actually the moment of interruption. So there's a kind of a it's almost, I think of it almost like birth. It's a motive that is trying to be born, a tonality that is trying to establish itself. And just as it comes to its own confirmation, it gets interrupted, and the interruptions start coming faster and faster and get more and more violent. And so that's what kind of sets the symphony off on its course.
Let's listen to the first part of The Quietest of Whispers by Dr. Evan Ware. That was a portion of the first movement of The Quietest of Whispers, the Symphony No. 1 by Dr. Evan Ware, who is my guest in the studio today. He's the assistant professor of composition at Central Michigan University School of Music. And that piece will be performed this weekend, Sunday, at the New Music Symposium at Staples Family Concert Hall at
7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m. Who was performing on that recording?
This was a recording that I did with Kevin Fitzgerald, who's actually coming back to conduct the piece again this time. He's one of the founders of the Apex Apex Contemporary Performance. And he was the first person to conduct this piece. He conducted it at its premiere in 2014, conducted it again because it got enough traction that the University of Michigan Museum of Art asked me to come and curate a concert about masculinity and vulnerability the year after in 2015. So this is a group of students from the University of Michigan School of Music who were playing. It was not a formal ensemble at that point, but a bunch of very talented students who did a really, really very good job.
Yes, and the Apex Ensemble will be performing it this weekend, Sunday evening. And you can hear, you mentioned the sort of the birth and the very intentional, very intentional composition.
I try to be intentional in my practice. Sometimes, sometimes you need to cleanse your palate and to just sort of throw caution to the wind and do things, but sort of as they come to you. But in this particular case, I spent 2 years writing the piece, and I really wanted to get it right and to really speak honestly about my own experience. And so I did spend a lot of time with it, and I crafted it in such a way that it would convey, to the best of my ability, a direct message to the audience, something that they could pick up on and be interact with. Sometimes I think new music is often thought of as maybe a little bit obscure or what's the word I'm looking for? It's not going to come to me. But hard to access.
Inaccessible.
Inaccessible. And that's never what I've wanted to be. I've always wanted to be able to talk to people who don't have any musical training, but that, somehow within the codes of the music, they can understand from and feel some of the things that I'm feeling, and we can share that experience together.
Well, as a composer, you said this took 2 years. What's your process? You every day sit down and, for an hour and say, okay, I'm going to compose for this hour. Or does it hit you when you're driving and you think, oh, I got to write this down? What is your process?
I do most of my composing in the shower.
There you go. that was my next.
my ideas,
but I'm glad you said it.
My ideas come fast and furious in the shower because I don't have anything to write on.
Yeah.
I do a lot of, I stew a lot. So I'll get an idea in my head and I'll let it turn over in my head for quite a long time before I ever sit down and try and commit it to paper. I like to develop the ideas in my head long before I ever try to really give it a definitive shape. So I take a lot of time in what used to be called pre-composition, but to me it's all just composition. And then eventually when I sit down, it tends to happen fairly quickly. The Second Symphony, for instance, I wrote the first movement in probably 2 days.
Oh, wow.
And then the second movement took me probably 2 months. and then the rest of it came really quickly in the first few months of this year, actually. So I had the time to stew on it, and when I had the time to let my ideas steep, then I'm good to go.
I can imagine you have these aha moments and you run and grab a used napkin or something and a pencil and
it
scribble
does
down your ideas.
Yeah, it definitely does happen. And sometimes I'll just write words describing what I'm getting at. And I have to be real careful about that because sometimes I will come back to those words and go, what was I on about again? So it's very, I really work by inspiration. And I don't, Stravinsky is said to have sat down for 6 hours a day, whether or not anything came out. I don't know if I believe him. That takes a lot of courage to sit when nothing's coming out. I tend to get up and do other things.
That sounds like a good idea to me. There you go, doing the dishes. this subject of the quietest of whispers is a difficult subject. Was it painful to write that, or was it healing to write that?
Yes. It was both. It was actually extremely painful to write, and it was really difficult. I'm very grateful to a couple of friends, Sam Richards and David Biedenbender, who sat down with me and talked through some of the issues. I think you know, composers are often thought of being these sort of lone geniuses who do things on their own, and I would really love to push against that image of what a composer really is. A piece is, and particularly a symphony, is built from a community that surrounds the composer as well as the composer themselves. And Dave and Sam were really a sounding board that I really needed at a certain moment in the writing of this piece, and they were able to really give me the kind of feedback that calm my nerves and help me see the project through. Obviously, my wife was there the whole time, Megan, you know, is one of my best friends and really helped keep me in a good place. You know, we have a very positive, very relationship. We laugh a lot together, and that is worth more to me than I can say. And I think she really helped kind of keep my head, well, my head on the ground and my feet on the ground, but like my whole being on earth, rather than splitting apart into all different directions from the kinds of anxiety that I was feeling as I was writing that piece.
Well, thank you for writing the piece, because not only did you, well, you went through the difficult part of it, but came out on the other side and as a healing process, but then you offered that to all who listen also. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And in fact, partly what Symphony No. 2 is about is to take it to the next step.
That was my next question.
I figured you were going in that direction. The motivation for Symphony No. 2 came about when Kevin and I were talking about doing a recording of The Quietest of Whispers, which we always wanted to do, like a proper professional commercial recording. And I was starting to apply for grant money at CMU to look into that. And he called me up out of the blue one day and said, would you want our friend, mutual friend, Amy Petrangeli, a soprano, to also be part of this project? And I mean, Amy is an absolutely incredible musician, and you just don't say no to an opportunity like that. So of course, I just, without thinking, I reflexively said, yes, of course. And then after I hung up with him, I thought about it for a second, and I realized I had to use a text, and the first symphony has no text, it's just music. And that changed. At first, I was just going to write a follow-up symphony that was going to be an exploration of new directions I was taking in my own practice. And I realized that I couldn't do that with the text. And I had to do something that was maybe a bit more personal. And at that time, everything was going down at Michigan State University with the sports doctor there. I don't use his name because I don't like to promulgate it. I was very upset by the extent of the betrayal that he had perpetrated. Now we know over 360 women, and the fact that the university had participated to some extent in that betrayal by not listening, by not following through on investigations, and that sometimes even parents had not believed their own children. It was heartbreaking.
And you had more to say about it.
And I realized I had more to say. I remember the exact moment it happened, and that made me feel at once really close with my forebears, strangely enough. I'm a big fan of Gustav Mahler and his symphonies, which include the voice so beautifully and so importantly.
The Second Symphony.
For instance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, the Fourth is a really important one for me. And I felt this incredible need to come back to this topic, but to give something to others. Because I knew that when I was a kid, the one thing that I really needed was someone to tell me that on the other end there was light, that that beauty was still possible, love was still possible. I wasn't broken as a human being, and things could get better. And so I figured that there was a lot of women who were going to start going through those kinds of questioning. It's great that he got the sentence that he got and that he won't ever see the outside of a jail again. But that doesn't make the survivors' work any less difficult. And I wanted to reach out to survivors and let them know that there are others in their community who stand with them.
Again, like the First Symphony, a place where people can go for healing, that through the music they could listen, they could experience, feel.
The first vocal movement of the Second Symphony, it all uses poetry by the great American poet Jane Hirschfield, gave permission to me to use. And the first the first movement is this, the poem, the middle of the poem is a recipe. And it's really hard to set a recipe to music. But the linchpin of the poem is the moment when the poet says, eat. You may do this, I tell you. Begin again the story of your life. And that's such a powerful line because it speaks to something that we all have to do. Eating is like a commitment to keep going, a commitment to persist and to get better. And so I think of this symphony in a sense as an invitation to be with us, your community, who care about you and who want to see you get better.
Wow. And that is an invitation to come to CMU Sunday evening, 7:30, for the New Music Symposium that will feature the Symphony No. 1, The Quietest of Whispers by Dr. Evan Ware, and the Symphony No. 2, both dealing with topics of sexual abuse, the difficult topics. But we do come out on the other side, don't we?
We do indeed.
Yeah, there is hope at the end. At the New Music Symposium, some other things will be going on there, too. Some organizations from Central Michigan University will be there providing counseling services to those who feel the need to speak with someone. That's the Sexual Aggression Peer Advocates. And that this event serves as a launch for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which starts in April. So that's a real nice timing for that. So everyone is welcome to the New Music Symposium. And there will be these folks on hand to help and a reception after. And that's 7:30, Staples Family Concert Hall, the New Music Symposium, with very powerful and healing music by Dr. Evan Ware.
Thank you so much for having me on, Judy.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for this important music.
Thank you.
My guest, Dr. Evan Ware, Assistant Professor of Composition at the Central Michigan University School of Music. The New Music Symposium is coming up this Sunday evening at Staples Family Concert Hall, 7:30. Featuring the musical ensemble Apex with new music by Dr. Ware, the Symphony No. 1, The Quietest of Whispers, and also the Symphony No. 2. And that will be the world premiere of that symphony.
Indeed it will.
That's so exciting.
It really is. I'm very much looking forward to hearing what Apex does with it.
You haven't heard it yet, them performing?
Only on my computer.
Oh, wow. That's going to be such a special evening for you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.